You're listening to Vatican Radio. British Foreign Secretary William Hague and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon on Tuesday launched a high-level declaration on the need to work towards eliminating sexual violence in conflict. The ambitious declaration, launched on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York, follows on from a G8 declaration in April this year and subsequent words of support from Pope Francis in a letter to British Prime Minister David Cameron. Writing in the L'Osservatore Romano supplement entitled Women, Church, World, William Hague says the Catholic Church has an influential voice and can help challenge the culture of impunity and silence that surrounds this horrendous crime. To find out how, I spoke with Britain's ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker. How hopeful are you, first of all, that this will be taken up by countries outside of the G8?
We're very confident. The United Kingdom has been working very hard on this. The declaration of the G8 countries was an important step forward. But this particular initiative has already been supported by a number of countries, including Italy, Senegal, Republic of Korea, Japan, France. So there's already real momentum. One of the things that we have been looking to achieve before the launch of this declaration is support from as many countries as we can possibly get, public and overt support, for the aims of the initiative. And it's really important, I think, to emphasise that this isn't about just creating a legally binding document. It's not legally binding, but it is about countries committing themselves to very practical action to tackle sexual violence in conflict and war zone rape.
Does that include countries that have just come out of or indeed are still in conflict?
Very much so. There will be a very strong representation, I'm sure, from countries that have been through conflict, like very recent past, or it is continuing now, of course, countries like Democratic Republic of Congo, looking back towards Bosnia, for example, where sadly there were horrendous examples of rape being used as a weapon of war. And they themselves will add the voices of testimony to the need for the international community to make sure not only that we say the right things, but we do the right things. And this means, above all, ensuring that those who commit these crimes cannot have impunity. We were delighted to see that a nun, Sister Angelique Namaika, from the Democratic Republic of Congo, was awarded the Nansen Refugee Prize for 2013 by the United Nations Commission on Human Rights for her work in looking after and supporting women in Democratic Republic of Congo who have been suffering rape in conflict, sexual violence, violence and abuse from the militias fighting there. And I think it's another recognition that this issue is becoming going right to the top of the agenda, and people realise, you know, no more. We have to tackle it properly.
You're talking about moving from words to action, but how do you come up with a document or a declaration that will ensure in some way that countries do put the words into action?
Our aim is to be very practical. The declaration itself lists a whole range of things, a sort of 12 points, and we're not trying to set sort of ideals. We're trying to say very clear things. And one or two of the points, for example, it's ensuring that countries will do more to assist other countries, particularly where capacity needs to be improved, to provide better care, both medical care, psychological care, for victims, male as well as female, and indeed for the children born a result of sexual violence, to strengthen the efforts of regional organisations, to sort of agree that sexual violence prevention will be a priority for funding in humanitarian and conflict emergencies. So very practical things. The campaign has also been looking, and this is another thing that will be set out in the declaration, in the drafting of an international protocol, which the UK has been facilitating. We hope will be ready next year, which looks at a very specific area of the documentation and investigation of these crimes. And it'll be setting very practical guidelines as to how, for example, evidence can be collected in the field in the best way so that it can be used in international tribunals in the future. How people collecting that evidence can work most effectively with people providing support for victims. So again, very practical measures, and we continue to sort of build the international support from G8 to this UN declaration to an international protocol, with practical measures being added in along the way.
This is about individuals supporting individuals who have been victims of rape and sexual violence, but it's also about the damage it does to communities and countries as a whole, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, clear evidence that this is a crime that is often used deliberately to undermine the structures of societies. We know, for example, that victims of the crime often are shunned by their own communities because of the shame associated with the crime. We know the psychological impact that it has on whole communities, whole societies that have been affected by this crime. So it is about treating the individuals, and we have always to hone in on this key fact that it is individual human beings who are desperately affected by this crime. But it is also about helping to rebuild societies, and hence our focus on this capacity building, both in health, both in on the legal side, both in addressing regional organisations, and many other very specific areas where we think we can add value to the effort to prevent this and then the impact of it.
William Hague has said that the church has an influential voice in challenging the culture of impunity on this. What role would you like to see the church playing? What else can it do here?
Well, I think, as I've already mentioned in the case of Sister Namaika, already a lot is being done, particularly by religious women on the ground, some of whom have been victims themselves, and they are very focused on that support for victims. But also, I think, in terms of national capacities, bishops' conferences locally can certainly play an important role in encouraging governments to put more emphasis on this issue. They will know from their own congregations, particularly in countries that have been affected by violence, they will come across people who have suffered because of this. We are also looking for overt and clear support from countries at the United Nations for these efforts. We have asked countries to address the issue in their ministerial declarations at the UN Assembly, to come to support and be ready overtly to engage in this. And we're hoping very much that the Holy See will be ready to do this. We know that they are very much in favour of our efforts.
You've already had Pope Francis' support, haven't you?
Well, Pope Francis, in his letters to David Cameron before the G8, made very clear that he saw this as another example of support for human dignity at the international level. So that sort of overt support is valuable, and it'd be wonderful if, in a sense, all these instructions can go out to bishops and others to support these efforts on the ground, because the church is where the victims are, and the victims need to see the church supporting these practical efforts to get rid of this terrible crime.
My thanks there to British Ambassador to the Holy See, Nigel Baker.